God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on heaven. What about heaven? That's the message Dr. Wilton has chosen to share with us today in the next few moments as we open God's encouraging word together. As we do so, Dr. Don wants me to remind you right here at the beginning of the program that we're standing by, ready to talk, ready to pray. You can do that on the phone, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And many of you are signing up for the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don just by texting the word DAILY to 30500. That's DAILY to 30500. We'd love to get you connected. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
The attack's continuing. You're under attack. I'm under attack. Our nation is under attack. Satan doesn't want you to know about heaven. He will do everything he can to prevent you. He will do everything he can today to stop you giving your heart and life to Jesus. Now, as I told you before, as we look at these real issues, we ask, God answers. I have pored over these questions. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've found myself at the point at which I'm not quite sure even where to start. There are so many questions about heaven. Scores and scores and scores of them. What will we look like? How do we know we're going to go there? Is it actually a place? Who doesn't get to go to heaven? Will we be married? By the way, short answer to that one, no. You don't need to say amen, some of you. The devil will really get a hold of you, I promise you, by the time you get home. The questions, so here's what I'm going to do. You ready for this? All the questions about heaven revolve around three issues. I'm going to give them to you. Number one, a person. A person. That person is our God and our Father. God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Now, what did he create? The heavens, plural, and the earth, singular. Now, I'm going to be full of a lot of questions today. When did God begin? He always was. Heaven is where God is. So heaven, singular, the place, always is. And in God's time, in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, God created two spheres. Sphere number one is the heavens. What God did, he didn't create heaven, the place, because he is that place, his person. What he did when he created the heavens was he created the sphere of his character and his righteousness. He created the abode. So that when he created the earth, which is the place upon which he put man, you and I, those who according to his purpose are created for the purpose of being with God, where God is forever, he created the earth so that we of the earth, his created beings, can look up into the sphere of God's grace and his holiness, because we cannot see God, person, excepting as he was revealed to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember what Jesus said. The disciples came to Jesus and said to him, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And the Lord Jesus began his prayer like this: Our Father, who art in heaven. If you do a transliteration of that phrase, our Father, our Heavenly Father, the one who is heaven. So when God created man in his own image, sin entered into the heart of people through the sin of Adam and Eve. We became separated from God. We could no longer have access to God. But because Jesus died on the cross, conquered sin and death and the grave, through his death, burial, and resurrection, we now have been given access once again to the very heart of God. This is what is meant by having peace with God, and by his Spirit, we are admitted into the very sphere of God. We are brought into who God is, and he is heaven. Now, I'm going to construct something for you here that is absolutely precious. To try to answer the questions about heaven, we've got to begin with a person, God. No question about it. If you look quickly with me at Revelation chapter 4, everybody turn to Revelation chapter 4, very quickly. Now, Revelation chapter 4 begins the tribulation period. This is after Jesus has come in the clouds. All believers who are alive have been taken up out of the earth. So when I read this to you in Revelation chapter 4, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you right now would say to me, Pastor, I know right now, at this very moment, that if I were to die right now, or if Jesus were to come now in the clouds, I would go to be with him. I would go to heaven. Just raise your hand. All right, put your hand down. I did that quickly because I'm not trying to single anybody out here. If you raise your hand right now, you and I are going to be seeing what I'm talking about. We're going to be there. This is going to happen to you and to me. So in Revelation chapter 4, this is what John says on the island of Patmos. He says, after this, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. Incidentally, heaven evidently has a door. And the first voice I'd first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. Everybody look up. All right? Come up here. Remember when Jesus ascended, he went up into heaven. So we know that. I'm going to connect this for you in just a moment, and I will show you what might take place. Verse 2, at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and there was one person seated on this throne. This is why when you begin with heaven, everything must revolve around the person of God. God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. But when you talk about the person of God in heaven, he is surrounded in heaven by three categories of people. This is who's in heaven and will always be in heaven. Number one, angels. All right, look at chapter 4. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Just go to Revelation chapter 5, for example. I'll tell you even a better passage. Go to chapter 15. This will help you even better. Just go to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. I'm only going to read to you one verse. Then I saw another sign. Where is the sign? Someone tell me. I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing. One thing I can tell you about heaven, every mention of heaven in the Bible is associated with fantastic, great, wonderful, beautiful, magnificent. There's not a single solitary negative statement made about heaven. I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. I'm reading you one verse. There are hundreds of verses in Scripture that tell us that in heaven, surrounding God on his throne, number one, there will be angels. That's the first group. And there are millions of angels. Number two, the second group are the 24 elders and four living creatures. Now, where in the world do I get that from? All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 4. By the way, Revelation chapter 19 is the chapter that teaches us about the second coming of the Lord Jesus, when he's going to come back to get us to live with him forever. It's the end of the world, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 4 of chapter 19, this is what we read. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen and Hallelujah. And in response, God speaks at this point from the throne. We meet these 24 elders and these four living creatures all the way back in chapter 4 is the first time when we are given a picture of the Lamb upon the throne. Just very quickly, who are these 24 elders? Well, first of all, I want you to know they are human beings. How do we know that they are human beings? Go to chapter 4 quickly, Revelation chapter 4. Let me show you why we know they are human beings. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4. Revelation 4 and verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Three things we are told about these 24 elders. Number one, they sat on thrones. There is not one time ever in the Bible that we are told that angels sit on thrones. That is a sign of authority, God's authority. Number two, they are clothed in white raiment. The angels are never described as such. But those who are saved by the blood of the Lamb, you and I who are washed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we are described as being clothed in white raiment. And thirdly, they have crowns on their heads. All right, everybody look at me. A lot of questions. We ask, God's answering. How do we answer questions about heaven? First of all, we've got to consider the person, God. Everything to do with heaven has to do with God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. God in heaven is surrounded by three categories, the 24 elders and the four living creatures. He is surrounded by millions of angels, and he's surrounded by you and me. Multitudes of people. All right, second way in which we can understand heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. So, take a look with me. That passage that I read in Revelation 21. Heaven is a place. Now, Jesus told us that. He said in John 14:1, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Heaven is an abode. It's a destiny. In fact, the Bible tells us, amongst many other things, four things about this place called heaven. Number one, it's a city. So go to chapter 21. I didn't read this to you. Chapter 21 and verse 2. Look at verse 2. Chapter 21 and verse 2 says, And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The Bible often talks about heaven as being like a city. Number two, it is centered by a throne. However you and I may think about heaven, it's got a throne in the middle of it. You know, when I go to England, I haven't been there for a number of years. I'd like to go back again. When I go to England, one of my favorite places to go to is Buckingham Palace. You know, if you were to go over there right now and try to check out the princesses and the princes and all of them associated, you go to Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace is an amazing place. It's a magnificent looking palace. When I look at Buckingham Palace, I think about this huge city called London, and in a sense, in the center of the city, there's this throne. It's just an earthly throne. But in many ways, this is what the Bible wants to tell us, that everything about heaven finds its expression in the one who's seated on the throne. Third, the Bible tells us that heaven has many mansions. John chapter 14 and verse 1. I want you to turn there. Let's go to John. Very important for you to see John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 1. Because I'm going to read this and I'm also going to use this to show you something wonderful. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Here's what Jesus said. Now folks, can I just say this to you? We ask these questions. Let's let God answer it. So right now, I'm not asking the Democrats what they think about heaven. And I'm not asking the Republicans what they think about heaven. In fact, I'm not asking myself what I think about heaven. Could we just ask Jesus? Could we just let God have the last say? You know, when I watch the news sometimes and you see someone like Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, one of his favorite statements in the middle of all of this conversation and crossfire, he says, okay, you got the last word. Let's let God have the last word. Okay, so this is what Jesus said. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. By the way, do you want an interpretation or translation of the word mansion? It literally means abodes, living places. Did you get it? Living places. By the way, did you know this? Can I just give this to you very quickly? Do you know that there's not one single person that has ever died that's dead? That's why Jesus called these living places. You know, I love being on the road with our senior adults, being in those prisons and so on. But boy, do I love coming home. Your home is a place where you hang your hat. There's just something about home, isn't there? Jesus said this. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms, many living spaces. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare your home. I'm going to prepare your home. And because I'm going to prepare that home, I'm going to come back. I'm going to receive you to myself so that you can go to your home forever. So heaven, the place, remember we looked at a person, then at a place. What about this place called heaven? It's a city, it's centered by a throne, has many mansions. Another thing that I love about it, it has a river of life flowing down Main Street. Go to Revelation 22. I've got to put this in here. I'd feel awful if I didn't tell you this. Revelation 22. I love being around our young people because they sing a song that goes like this. I have a river of life flowing out of me. Goosh, 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 goosh. Now, sorry, Genesis. I know I did that wrong, but it works like that somehow. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Make the lame to walk and the blind do see. Goosh, 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 goosh. Something like that. Yuppity, 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 yup. All right, listen, let me read you where that comes from. It goes like this. Chapter 22, Revelation 22 and verse 1. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Get this. Through the middle of the street of the city. By the way, that's down Main Street. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit. By the way, anyone want to know if you're going to eat in heaven? Somebody say amen. No catfish. There's not going to be any catfish. I've never found catfish in the Bible. And there will definitely not be boiled okra. I've spoken to God about that. All right. With its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit each month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. Everybody, touch your face, touch your face, touch your face. In heaven, when we're in heaven, you're going to have a face. We're going to see the face of God. We're going to walk in heaven. We're going to talk. We're going to say, hello, how are you? We're going to know one another by name. Do you know that Jesus knows you by name? He's calling you by name. He's saying, Susan, John, Bill, Stephanie, George, come. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. I love you. I died for you. I'm God. I made you with the express purpose of having a personal relationship. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. All of you, tap yourself on your forehead. Go on, tap yourself on your forehead. What's the matter with you? You go, big. All right, tap on the forehead. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord will be, God will be their light, and they will reign with him forever and ever. And by the way, I love verse 6. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. This is the place called heaven, centered around a person. But then there's a third issue that heaven revolves around, and that's a promise. John 14, verse 1. This promise is rooted in God's love. What is God's promise? God's promise is that he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me. God's promise in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, he who has the son has life, but he who has not the son of God does not have life. Only those who believe in Jesus Christ will go to heaven. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. Because you've never been forgiven of your sin. Heaven is where God lives. God's holy. God, just like God could not allow Adam and Eve to come back into the Garden of Eden because of their sin, so it is, he cannot allow anybody to come into heaven with him forever because of your sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But get this, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's rooted in God's love. It's guaranteed by Jesus' resurrection. How's this made possible? Because Jesus conquered sin and death in the grave. You know what the Bible says? I love this. The Bible tells us in Adam we all die. That means we go to a Christless eternity. We don't go to heaven. We live forever separated from him in hell. Next week I'm going to be speaking about hell. I'm going to go to the opposite extreme. But when you trust Jesus, when you've been clothed in his righteousness, when you've been covered in the blood of Jesus, shed for you and for me, God readmits you into the Garden of Eden. Some of you are saying to me, Pastor, how can I have peace with God? You can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You can be reconciled to God. It is guaranteed by his resurrection. And number three, it's accepted by faith. It's accepted by faith. You've got to accept what God has done for you by faith. You've got to believe in him. You've got to trust him by faith. You've got to say yes to him by faith. Would you do that today? Would you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't put this off. You cannot afford to put this off. Would you trust him? Would you turn your life over to him today? Are you willing to confess your sin to Jesus Christ? Repent of that sin and turn away from it? and turn toward God, trusting Him, receiving His love, accepting Him into your heart and life. Are you willing to do that? Do that today. We'd love to be able to pray with you. Steve is going to come and he's going to lead us in a wonderful hymn of invitation today. I'm going to ask you today to give your life to Christ. Turn your heart over to Him and know that you know that one day when you die, or if Jesus were to come again, you're going to go straight to heaven. Precious little girl wrote me a note. She said to me, "Dr. Wilton, is my papa in heaven?" Do you know what I want to say to her? Oh, yes. Your papa gave his heart and life to Jesus. He's in heaven. In fact, I just happen to know because I checked up on her papa. And her papa loved the Lord Jesus. So my answer to that little girl is, oh, yeah. You can take that to the bank, God's bank. Your papa's in heaven. And he's waiting for you to come. I tell you, what a reunion. I think, sweetheart, you're going to arrive in heaven one day when it's God's time for you. You're going to say, "Hey, Papa." And he's going to look at you and he's going to say to you, "My sweetheart, I just love you so much. I'm so glad. I've been so looking forward all these years for you to come and join me here in heaven. In fact, come into my house." I think you're going to have a wonderful time with your papa. And it's all because of Jesus, isn't it? Heaven is real, folks. I'm going. You going?
I pray that you have Jesus in your heart. And you know you'll be taken into His presence. If you have questions, we'll discover the answers together. By giving us a call, you can speak with us right now or 24 hours a day, as a matter of fact, at 866-899-WORD. That number again is 866-899-9673. Or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org. Now, before we get away, a closing thought from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
It's been a great week of studying God's encouraging word with Dr. Don Wilton. We'll continue doing that across the weekend. There's special video programs, other ways to connect online at theencouragingword.org. And of course, the phone number available all weekend and all day and all night at 866-899-WORD.